Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Can you even see what you're fighting for? Bloodlust and a holy war. Listen up, hear the patriots shout. Times are changing. In the end, my choice was clear. Take a shot in the face of fear. Fist up in the firing line. Times are changing. A dying star, white lies, it's a man on fire. Making love with the devil hurts. Times are changing. A thin line, the whole truth, the far right, the left view. Breaking all those promises made. Times are changing.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm your host, VGR Nathan, and with us is co-host Claire Van Winkle of Rockaway Writers Workshop.
Good morning.
Good morning. And today we're welcoming filmmakers Darren Mallett and Sharon Sheard. Bodymore is their work, a debut project by their writing team. As queer Black filmmakers, they are committed to creating diverse stories that present raw and honest lives and the loves of their peers. They're also working on House of Ease, I believe, which is a creative group. Can you tell us a little bit more about House of Ease? And we'll start off with that and a little bit more about your projects. Please, well, first of all, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So why don't we start with House of Ease? And that's a creative filmmakers collective committed to telling absurd stories about the lives and loves of their peers and turning a critical eye towards identity, society, and morals. Excellent, excellent.
Who wrote that?
I think I wrote that.
That's like, nice, good. Shannon. That's good. Nice, Shannon. I like that.
Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, so House of Ease is our artist collective / production house, and it's made up of Darren, myself, and two of our creative partners, / business partners, Justin Jones and Bernice Griffin IV, amongst many others. And we are all committed to, we're all artists in our individual rights, and like we all work together as artists. So we produce and create short film, feature-length film together, short form content, music videos, and then we also independently have like projects that we work on, and we support each other in those. Justin and Bernice are illustrators, and they're working on a graphic novel right now.
Excellent.
Darren and I have writing projects together that we're developing, and then the collective works,
Can you tell us a little bit about how House of Ease came to be?
Yes, well, House of Ease came to be in the process of producing and shooting last summer, Bodymore. I think we started last April when we had the epiphany for what it is that we've been doing together and how to like solidify it and make it a entity
The epiphany came when there we had a lot of responsibilities for like
insurance.
And paperwork responsibilities. That's where the epiphany came. Like, yes. We need to be legal to make this movie. So five, six, seven, eight.
We had to, writing up contracts for crew and cast. So we were like, oh, we need to like...
Be an entity.
Yeah, so Burnus, the much more business-minded / financial-minded member of the group, did paperwork and things to make us a like legit LLC. Because Darren and I are more on the creative side of things, for sure. Operations in my case. But So
tell us a little bit about Body More and how that came to be as a film. And what was the impetus or what was the creative drive that made you feel like you want to make this movie?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's you, Shannon.
So Body More, first, it started off as a short story written in September of 2015 by myself. I was inspired by, I actually left Urban World Film Festival in September of 2015 with a friend, and we had just seen a block of shorts, and some of the shorts dealt with, they were all shorts told by, directed by, or written by Black women. And a lot of them went into like some really heavy subjects that kind of struck close to home for both of us. So we were on the train discussing it. And earlier that year, I had had a weekend which kind of changed my life for many ways. And it was something that I was holding on to, a lot of like pain that I wanted to, that I needed to release. And so I was talking to my friend and, you know, she was like, why don't you just write it and see what happens?
Why don't you just write it and see what happens?
Yeah. And I was like, yeah.
I know. Just write it.
Because I was like, you know, I feel like all your free time. Story like this. After watching that short, I was like inspired. I was like, you know, I had never, like I always been a film fan, but I never really saw myself going into film because film is one of those things that it's such an industry that feels very far away from you. It doesn't feel approachable or like the most welcoming, I guess, if you're not in it already. So, but after that block of shorts, I was like, I feel like I have a story that I could tell because it would have fit perfectly in that short block. So I went home after having that conversation. I poured out my heart. It was actually the easiest thing I've ever written in my life. And it just kind of flowed out of me. And I was so excited with the first draft or two. And I never feel excited about a first draft.
Yeah.
And I shared it with my friends. First, I shared it with my friend who was on the train with me. And then I was thinking, like, you know, if we're really going to do this, who do I know that's a filmmaker that I've been wanting to work with? Mr. Mallet here. We were in talks for about a year to try to work together and write something. It just hadn't been lining yet. So I sent him the draft of Body More.
On October 22nd.
Yes.
In the year of our Lord, well, 2015.
Actually, I sent it before then.
Oh, you sent it, but when I read it.
Though. You read it then because we had a plan to go see Trevor Noah at the Daily Show that day. So we had tickets.
He's a hottie.
I was like, Darren, come with us. And then we'll talk about if you read the project, then we can talk about it then. And so, yes, we went to the Daily Show, saw Trevor Noah, and Darren, when I first saw him before the show, he was like, I just finished reading it in the Apple store, and now Darren can tell you.
Yes, my phone was dying.
Tell us a little bit about how, from the short story, it jumped into a screenplay. So do you guys collaborate on the screenplay, or how did that process work, translating into screenplay?
So Shannon and I, we met at the New School, and so I took a couple of film courses and a few screenwriting courses at the New School, and so I felt like I knew some things, and I was like, sure, I'll adapt a short story into a short film. I can do this. And it was a wonderful experience because we had, in my mind, a huge foundation of the short story, and my main priority was to make it visual. And it was easy, in a sense, to write it. House of Ease, get it? Easy. Uh-huh. And the truth was always around. That's my job, was just to kind of follow the truth and capture the truth. And that's basically the approach to how we wrote it. We would just have conversations about the short story text over and over and over. And if I had any kind of conversation, question about any character, any theme, we consulted the short story over and over and over. And we workshopped it for about, let me get into shot. All right. We workshopped it for about a year. It took us about a year to write the, how long is this? A 15 page? It's about 15 pages.
It was
pages?
18 pages.
At one point, it was 45 pages.
Oh, wow.
Let's make a 45 page short film, right? No.
The final script was 18 and we shot 15 minutes.
Yeah. So how does it break down? Is it a little over a minute per page? Just like reading?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
You got it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how long is the movie, or how long are you aiming for the movie to be, and how long is it ultimately?
All our friends from the community was like, if you want this to be in any festivals, you're going to have to clock under 15.
Under 15.
And we had a wonderful editor. Her name is Bodanya from the Ukraine. And she, through her powers, got it to a 13-minute cut. And that was amazing and heartbreaking, especially for writers to just all the slashes, just slash after slash, but meaningful slashes nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go into the themes of the movie. And you hinted a little bit in it, but what are the themes that you're dealing with, and maybe the plot?
Yeah, maybe starting with a no spoilers.
The plot synopsis. Breakdown. Got you. So Body More takes place over the course of a weekend. When a woman named Carrie Cook, who's an activist, she living in Brooklyn, goes back home to Baltimore to protest police violence. But the first night that she gets home, she goes to a party from an invitation from an old friend. They meet up and it sets off this series of intimate betrayals, which essentially complicates her fight that weekend. So
her fight for justice, her fight for justice. Yeah.
So she goes in with one plan, indulges herself for a night, and it takes her on a different path. A lot of it is about
it's coming of age, essentially.
Yeah.
It's a coming of age. Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I saw the a little bit of the sign body, and people can find out more about that at bodymoremovie.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it said it was at the intersection of the hashtag Black Lives Matters and hashtag Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. So you talk a little bit about how that comes into play without kind of spoiling it, but kind of getting a little bit of sense of, and also your artistically, how you were able to bring such, you know, prevalent social justice themes into a narrative, you know, how the challenges of that maybe.
Well, I mean, the personal is political.
Exactly. Right now.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So it just gets to a point where, like, if you're living authentically and living truthfully, it's kind of inherently political. So went into this knowing that. But then also a plot point is that a community organizer is returning to her home to protest police brutality. So I would say that the themes really is more emotional. Unless I remember there was one time I was thinking so outside in and plot heavy, and Shannon was like, I just want it to be a little less political theatery. And I was like, you're right. This is, at the end of the day, it's about a woman on her path. And I think one of the things that we always kept in the back of my mind is it's just simply about a woman navigating her freedom, essentially. You know, what happens when you know that you're free? I mean, there's still, I don't want to say complications or consequences, but I'll say consequences. There are, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And free or not, those reactions are happening. So how do you navigate that?
Good. Mm-hmm. So growing up, what films influenced you, going back to kind of, and how that matured into as you as a filmmaker, who do you draw from, or what films do you draw from for inspiration? We go either way with that, So you can think about kind of reflecting on maybe growing up, you're watching certain movies that maybe inspired you to to do film?
Or didn't inspire you?
Or didn't inspire, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What kind of movies did you grow up with? What do you want to do? What do you not want to do?
Yeah.
I guess.
Good, yeah.
Well, I can start off with shared together. We both really love musicals. Yeah. Bodymore is not a musical.
Not at all.
Is there going to be a musical version? Is that what's coming out next year?
I want a musical version of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Musical version
that,
of Radio Free
Brooklyn. Yes. I want everything to be a musical. But yeah, we were inspired. I think we're a musical house in general. You know, all four members, or founders, I should say, of House of Ease, always talk about music, even when it's like getting into television or something. We just are tuned to that. But me personally, I'm really, color inspires me. I like to just follow the truth, follow the color. We were just talking about Marie Antoinette, Sofia Coppola's Marie Antoinette. And the first thing I was like, that, the candy montage and the color. And just you know, it just really, we really like, beauty. We appreciate beauty.
Yeah.
And we came up for Bodymore, you know, although it's set in a kind of dark time and political themes, we always approach it with like there's a prettiness to the gritty. You know, we came up with gritty pretty.
How important is it to, in times of conflict or chaos, to bring the beauty to the fore and to keep that going artistically, socially?
Yeah. Always.
And how do you feel like movies and art, even those that display the sort of ominous underbelly of everything, how do you feel? Do you have any examples of movies that you like that were perhaps shot beautifully but that expose more?
Yes. Actually, the first thing that comes to mind is Julie Dash's Daughters of the Dust. It's a really beautiful film. There's not a lot of dialogue at all, and it's about a family on one of the South Carolina islands and transition. And basically you see how
African-American family.
Yeah. You see how they are, how they live their day-to-day lives. And then like there's upheaval because like they need to transition to like the mainland for different reasons, economic. And like, I think there's also like a storm approaching throughout the whole film. It's a really beautiful film, though. Yeah. It's more about emotion and just...
Are there any scenes that you remember that you could describe for us to give our listeners kind of an idea of when you watch this film, what are you actually seeing? What's in front of you?
Nature.
About our film? Or
about the film that you're talking about.
Well, one of the main, my favorite scene in that whole film, not to give too much away, but the film's been out for 30 years, so y'all
We can give away spoilers. We can do spoilers about other people's work, just not yours.
Yeah, yeah, love it.
One of the main characters, her family is going to the mainland. I think they're going to New York, and she's like the young 20-something daughter, and she's been like, basically she's been dating this really beautiful, gorgeous, indigenous man who lives on the island, and he doesn't speak the whole movie. He just rides up in a horse, and like her family's in the canoe, and her man is on the horse on the mainland, and she looks at her family and she's like, I love you guys. But, and then he just like picks her up and puts her on the back of his horse and like goes off. And
so the thing
like,
that happens to every young girl when we fall in love,
young
right?
Man.
This has happened to all of us. Yeah.
Right.
Sweep me
he just
away.
Has like beautiful hair and they're just like beautiful and brown on this horse together, like riding off into the sunset. Mm-hmm. And like, you kind of get the sense like, oh, the island is doomed because like everyone's leaving because there's like a big storm coming, but they just made their decision to like, you know, let's do this together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I'm like a romantic and the heart. Like, I love romantic dramas and comedies. So, yeah, that's kind of my mood.
Yeah, you're mentioning in some of the questions about fantasy novels as well being a big influence. I believe you mentioned a few I think Darren had mentioned a few fantasy novels being as big influence on you. So just talking about literature in general, kind of what books and what artifacts have been a big influence on your worldview and what kinds of things growing up, maybe, or even now. Things you mentioned, Westworld as well, I think, is being a big fan of. So all these things, how these aesthetics. And I talk a little bit about these artifacts.
I actually back it up just one notch, since we're going to be talking about literature? You were saying that you started this as a short story.
Yes.
So you were a writer before you were a filmmaker. So, Darren, did you also used to write, or did you get straight into the film side of things?
Well, see, thank you for asking that. Now I'm practicing a bit more, being more affirmative. I've kept a journal since 1993.
So you are a writer.
Yes.
So you are a writer because a writer writes.
Right.
Yeah. I used to say,
God
no,
help us if
I'm
we start thinking writers are people who get published, or God forbid, people who get paid.
Yeah.
But okay, great. So
I like you, Van Winkle. I like you. Yeah.
So if you could talk a little bit about, since we're going to be going into literary influences, maybe if you could talk a little bit about how writing has played a part in your life, about how you've engaged with narrative that way, and then get us into these influences that have brought you to explore these themes through the visual.
Great
question.
Who takes it?
We should both take it, I think.
Yes. But Darren, why don't we start? We just established that you are a writer with a capital W.
Yes, thank you so much. I'll be quick, though.
Don't be. We got time.
The year was 1993. essentially, my first journal entry in 93 was actually I had to write my thoughts on a passage of the Bible. So my mom is from Trinidad and Tobago, specifically Trinidad. And she just started attending church. We were in Atlanta at the time. I'm from Brooklyn, but we were living in Atlanta. And she just took being a Christian very seriously, and not just culturally. So she's like, okay, well, if this pastor is preaching at us, well, I'm going to corroborate the details. Mm-hmm. So I grew up reading the Bible and then writing about what I was reading.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you were interacting with the Bible, were you interacting with the Bible from your, how old were you?
I was 9. I'm 34. Yes, was like 9.
So as a 9-year-old, were you coming at the Bible from a place of belief, or were you reading the Bible as literature?
Well, definitely it was like I joined the Jesus train because I didn't want to go to hell. Okay. So the stakes were high.
And you still ended up in New York.
I ran away. I graduated May 26th. I was in New York June 1st.
Yeah.
But to kind of condense all of that, I've been writing in a journal since 1993, and I still have a journal to this day.
Do you remember what that first entry was about?
It was a New Testament. It was a New Testament text. But basically, I was like a latchkey kid, and my father was up here in New York, and my mom was down there. So everything was through the lens of, like, I want my parents to come back together.
Yeah.
So it could be about whatever. Paul could be talking to the Romans.
And like, this dude can multiply all these damn loaves and fishes, like, but he can't help my parents get back together.
Get back together. Like, what are we talking about? Right. And then when I was in high school, everything was through the lens of art. You know, I just wanted to perform. But writing over the course of the years, it got from journal entry. I never did the whole short story thing or anything like that. But
it's because your life is a long story.
Yeah, thank you. But I enjoy the screenwriting process. And in at the New School, I wrote a few screenplays and shot a few of them. And I really like story editing in the sense that, like, give me these pages and then let me shape a story from these pages. Yeah.
Great.
Good, good.
Thank you, Darren, for sharing that process. So as far as writing has played a role in my life in the sense I've always been an avid reader. Since I was a child, my brother left the house and I was kind of like the only kid for the way I grew up. So I would...
Did you grow up here in New York?
I grew up in Baltimore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you said.
And I would say I was fairly sheltered, which I appreciated because I didn't want to hang out with other kids a lot.
She still don't want to hang out with other kids.
So I used to just like really like my books and be reading. My parents really encouraged it too. And I liked reading fantasy most of my life. I'm really into Harry Potter still as an adult. I used to read lots of like classics, like Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice, and Louisa May Alcott, Little Women. Also, like American Girl stories, those really influenced me, like all of them, especially Addie, obviously. Addie, Josephina, Samantha, Molly. I remember all of those girls, okay?
Those are your friends.
Those are my friends, yeah. Those, and like reading, like I had like some princess novels. I don't know. It was just like, I was really into reading. But I was also a musician most of my life. So I kind of considered myself more of a musician than a writer. I played piano and flute growing up and studied it and was in band. And essentially, when I went to college, I got intimidated out of music. I let myself be intimidated out of it. And then and then I just like was like, okay, so I'm a history major and I study international affairs and I double major. And I decided I'm just going to go full into academics and becoming an intellectual. That's what I thought was my thing, because I wasn't good enough to be a musician in my head. So I've written hundreds of academic papers, went to New School to get my master's in international affairs, worked at a number of nonprofits and NGOs before and during college. And so sometime around 2015, I was deep into my intellectualism and activism, which went hand in hand while I was in grad school. Developing myself as an activist led me to The Weeknd that Body More is based on. And essentially, I was really unhappy and depressed and kind of like, it was that moment I think that everyone has or will have if they haven't yet, which is kind of like that dark night of the soul where it's like, oh, I can intellectualize and overthink everything that's ever happened to me in my entire life, and it's not going to make me feel any better. But what does help is literally just expression, purest expression in the form of the arts. So I art therapized myself with my writing. And I had like tried to get into writing like in the years when I was in grad school and really going through like lots of anxiety and depression, because I think the Academy is a great place to feel, to just nurture an inferiority complex, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Well, one thing to ask you though,
there and get ready.
In terms of being active, how do you recommend that people sort of combat the hopelessness? Seems like the more that we learn and the more that we engage, yes, to a certain extent, maybe we feel empowered, especially at the local level, but it also seems that we engage with a lot of anger, and it's righteous anger, and it definitely needs to be there. But at the same time, it's not healthy for us just to be angry all the time. Like, where do we find our way into our own life? We're trying to create this world. So when do we actually live in it?
Yeah.
I find so many people in love with the struggles, and I used to be. So I'm like, I see it. I can recognize it. After a certain, like, it doesn't really serve you to be that angry all the time, though. Like, yes, we have real, like, issues in our society that need rearranging. I think we need total restructuring, personally. And I mean, I think we all have an opportunity to figure out what we want to bring to that. Mm-hmm. Like, I decided I don't really want to fight anymore. shout out to Tina Turner. Yes. I don't want to fight anymore. right. And so for me, like I think everyone defining your place in the struggle, it can be really easy when you're a young organizer to get caught up in group like dynamics and like group politics and just like, but is that really where you want to be? Or you just found a family and community there that like you feel like you've seen and heard by? So that'll take you to a certain level, but I think there's some internal work that has to be done in order to just truly like find your peace.
So maybe peace to make sure to, if you're going to use your voice to shout, you might as well also use it to sing.
To sing, yeah. exactly. Yeah. If you can, like,
I was going to say.
What makes you joyful. Find your joy. Follow your bliss. Not to sound like one of those cliche Instagram. like memes, but
it's true.
It is true.
You know, we're totally going to take that picture that we took at the beginning, and we're just going to put in like a pink swirly girly font, like follow your bliss, and I'm going to put those little like glittery things.
Literally glitter on her pink hat. Yes. Please do that.
It's so real.
So I was just saying, it's so important, like to find that strengthening of the community as well as reaching out to others to make sure that they also that so many people are going through this process, mm-hmm. that we, this dark night of the soul, and being able to find the laughter, being able to find that joy in the arts and beyond, and be able to empower these communities, all of our communities, mm-hmm. and be able to form bridges. You know, and bridges is the most important thing. Be able to form bridges so that people can cross over and understand our and have empathy towards our struggles. Yeah,
exactly. And I think this is why I think food, music, parties, like those things are powerful connectors of people. Yeah. Darren and I in our house, we throw a party because we recognize the value in just like literally giving people a chance to have fun and let their hair down and like not put on airs.
Yeah.
Realize what it is we're trying to save.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We had to remember that.
We all like to eat a good meal and have a nice drink and do a little dance every now and then.
Yeah.
Like everyone in the world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very true.
Yeah.
Good. So let's talk a little bit more about kind of like where you're going from now. So now you're promoting the film and
That was what I was going to ask about. Yeah. What are the steps in that?
What are the steps in that? Yeah.
How do you make it go from where it is now to where all the rest of the world will know what it is?
Yeah,
this is really exciting. We completed it in 2018, so it was a 3-year process, and that's a blessing. And we have been entering it into film festivals, essentially. Mm. So we're going to do the film festival circuit. Mm-hmm. And we've only screened in Baltimore so mm-hmm. far out of respect. And we were well received down there. It was mm-hmm.
The Baltimore International Black Film Festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We won an award for Best Baltimore Short Film.
Congratulations.
Yay. Excellent. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So what is the best way for our listeners, New Yorkers, to engage with your work and your movie?
That's a great question. So the best way right now, we actually just successfully finished our Kickstarter campaign.
Congratulations.
For Baltimore. Thank you. We raised $20,000, which means we can keep applying to film festivals and go and, you know, represent the film there. And so we have a Kickstarter page,
mm-hmm.
which you can now follow along for updates about where we're going next.
And remember, just because a campaign is successful does not mean it's over.
Oh, I know.
Thank you.
It is not over. Yeah, so I actually really love Kickstarter because now we can have a page where people can just click follow along. It's very simple, and just get live updates on what we're doing. So the moment we get into our next film festival, my fingers are crossed, we will be updating that page. And also we're going to link it to our Instagram and Facebook page. But you can follow
us. What are the handles on those?
Right. Our Facebook page, you can find us at Baltimore, Baltimore. You can follow us on Instagram at House of Ease BK. That's House of Ease BK. You can also follow us at BaltimoreMovie.com and at HouseofEase.com.
Or we can come to your house for one of those parties.
Yes.
You can also come to the Body Syndicate.
Yes.
Our house party, our basement party, which is at the wonderful Basquiat's Bottle on Fulton. In the basement. Our next one will be the last Wednesday of January.
Cool.
It'll be the first for the new year.
Oh, mm-hmm. This just in.
No, that was always the plan.
Oh, to me.
We're just taking December off because, you know.
Because December. Is crazy. Yeah.
There'll be enough
parties. We just got to make it to January 2nd.
That is my birthday, so I will
be. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Good.
Yes.
Just Capricorning now. Just Capricorning. Yes.
So one thing that comes up for me is like, you know, as we build towards these connections and bridges and such, mm-hmm. thinking about what kind of society we're aiming for, I think it's always good intentionality to mm-hmm. have a vision for society.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were talking a little bit about this in the questions before about kind of what would be the ideal state of for side and for yourself, you know, especially as you push the new year, you know, it'd be good to think about kind of what we're working towards. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So ideal society or ideal for yourself personally.
So yeah, how should the world be? Yeah. Start with a small question.
Personally, I think it starts with truly doing, knowing what you want and making the distinction within yourself of what you were taught to want and what you truly want. And that in and of itself takes a while. I think that's a process because in truth, if we all knew what we want, I guarantee the world would be a more chill place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because no one wants struggle and anger. Like people think that those are means to get things that they want, but they don't understand that that so often just becomes the end of it. It's like, yes, we want this power. We want this control. But for what? What is it trying to get you?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a great mentor of mine. His name is Olubide Sean Brown. And he has this movement called Bloom. And essentially, he just really talks about what we all want is like we want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to know that we're growing and evolving. We want to belong. And we want to be connected.
Connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. And when you have those kind of like five things internally, it can look like anything. So, you know, because we do want variety, I think. You know, we do want, I think, diversity in its purest sense, like it's diverse, it's different, it's contrasting. That goes
along with connections, though, too. Yeah. Because connections, connections require diversity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is, you know, tricky, icky in times like these, right? When it's like so tribal.
Mm-hmm.
And I can fall prey to tribalism really too. But tribalism doesn't have to be bad either because you can play nice with other tribes.
Yeah.
But I say all of that to say, starting at those five needs or desires really informs how the world can move and function more peacefully.
So for my nerdy psychology cohorts, it's sort of like the hierarchy of needs. That triangle. I don't know. I don't know about, you know, exactly where he puts things on those triangle and if that still applies as much. But yeah, so we have these basic things.
I think there's an amendment to it too lately. I saw something.
Really?
And there's like some added.
So do we have, should we like develop a new? Oh man.
Wi-Fi, yeah.
Darren, doesn't that go along with connections?
Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Mm. Well, with my Metro PCS, I guess I'm missing my hierarchy.
thank you, Darren.
Yeah.
Yes. And I just want to say that book, Olubide's book, Bloom, The Essential Journey, is great. And he is one of our mentors. And those five things ring true. That's our new Maslow's. I like Maslow's, but I don't like the triangle part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like self-actualization is at the top of it. So that means like if you don't have the other stuff, you can't get there.
Right. Well, you also just don't like hierarchy.
I don't like hierarchy. Which is a great transition into the way the world should look, according to me.
Yes.
So, like, the world, according to me, I think basically it just requires everyone's international human rights being recognized. I believe in one borderless world, don't really recognize national boundaries as they are established, especially in African indigenous societies.
Yeah.
I believe that everyone has a right to a place to live, shelter, food, water, education, and a universal income, although we don't even really need money at this point because the internet. No. Anyway, abolish currency, borders, and give everyone their basic. I mean, every human needs water, right?
Yeah.
Why are we paying for water?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I think that if everyone has a place to live, food to eat, education, Basic security for themselves and their families. Yeah. Everyone would chill out immediately, like right there. and
well, because there is enough to go around.
There's enough.
Yeah, it's such an abundance. Yeah,
we have this idea that everything's in scarcity, but it's only scarce because there's like five people that control it. And I actually feel like very hopeful in the future because the younger generation consistently inspires me because they know this. They know what I'm saying. And I think that, like, not to like put it on their shoulders, but.
Well, kind of unfortunately, though, is.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, I mean, we help out, but it's always the people coming of age now. It, like, we pass off the baton at some point.
Yeah.
And so I think it's good for them to understand the. No, because there's power in responsibility, you know, and so the fact that it's not about saying, oh, we're dumping this all on your shoulders, but their shoulders are strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Their shoulders are strong and they're young and they can do it.
Yeah. So they have more energy than we do.
Together, we can all do that. But yeah, I definitely think like
so funny.
For me, I don't want to label it. I don't want to say like a socialist world order because I don't believe in like again the hierarchy and the idea of like one person like dictating the means, like that doesn't work either. But if everyone is allowed to just kind of self-organize into their wanted tribe of human, I think ultimately I also like read this book called Sex at Dawn, and it's about like early human society, and essentially humans really just don't get along once we're in giant massive groups. We're really meant to be like tribal people, and I think if everyone has their you know chooses that tribe, then it'll also be a bit more peaceful. And again, I don't claim to think that this is the best idea ever, but that just is what resounds to me. I think all of that feels better than
And then lastly,
what I've really been experiencing and learning with alongside Shannon is a society where there is a large acknowledgement of the divine feminine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that can mean a lot of different things.
Yeah.
We're not going to necessarily go into what gender and all that. But when I acknowledge, again, the contrast of whatever that's truly to me, or the all encompassing, that kind of shifts everything. And that acknowledgement of the divine femme kind of, in my mind, fuels everything that you're talking about.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it does. Definitely a society where anything feminine or female isn't looked down upon will be great. Essentially, it's just always undervalued. Mask is seen as more serious and respectable, and high femininity is frowned upon and also
and feared.
Completely feared, wanted and craved and feared.
What about for you in your own personal journeys, where as we head to the new year, as I was mentioning, like what are your goals personally and some of the things that you're trying to maybe shed for the past year or move towards, you know, the idea of the New Year's resolutions or something. I don't know if you subscribe to that, but something to try to put a new benchmark for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. You know, VJ, you're going to have to answer this one too, then.
Yeah.
Broadly and generally, it's all these kind of emotional, mindful, awareness, spiritual-esque values. And really put them into practice.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when you're in a safe space of a sanctuary, a synagogue, an intimate place with your friends, or, you know, in a yoga studio, it all kind of makes sense. And you're like, I would be better if I listened more, if I was more aware, if I was blah, 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 blah. But in a... like on the subway train, it's different. When you want to punch somebody in their face, it's different when, you know, there's filth around
the
you.
The person doing down dog next to you is now your mortal enemy.
And so my biggest thing is to, like, I've been meditating and kind of aware of that world enough to, like, let me take it with me wherever I go and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's my biggest goal, to really appreciate that stuff and live in it. And then I guess more logistically, share the film with the world is the biggest thing, and stay really connected to our artist collective and honor the creative process. I think we really had to take a lesson in process and releasing our ideas of outcome, which is really tough, especially when you're writing, when you're doing, when you're creating anything, to release. We need this outcome to happen, and really, quote unquote, trust the process. And if you're really hardcore, surrender to the process. That word surrender is another 2019 goal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any goals or anything?
Goals. Next year, what I mainly hope to do next year is share the film with all of us, with the collective, with the world. So I'm looking forward to, quote unquote, running out of pages in my passport. I'm just gonna be real. I'm ready to travel the country and the world with the film and share it and see how people are reacting to it and engage with them.
Oh, you're excited. It's going to be good. You know it's going to be good.
I want to make lots of professional, no, not professional, but like just I want to make lots of meaningful connections.
Yeah.
And I do want to advance our careers in very strategic ways, which I'm still crafting in my mind.
I love you.
Do you guys, so I know that you're still working on getting this film out, but do you guys have any other upcoming projects? Do you already have things in the works?
We do. We actually just are recovering from a 12-hour shoot this weekend.
You look good for it.
Thank you. I laid in the bed all day yesterday.
Just thinking, what the hell am I going to say tomorrow? I wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I know. Preparing for this.
There's no preparing for this.
What did we shoot?
We shot a music video for our good friend, fellow Baltimorean. She's also in our film. Her name's Joy Postel. She's an up-and-coming singer, and it is a beautiful R&B song. We shot a very, very warm, sensual video for
name
her.
Of the song, Hold You Down.
Yeah.
She just released an EP that's out on Spotify,
iTunes, Tidal, all of that. Called Diaspora.
Yeah.
So, she's a good friend of ours, and she's about to blow up.
Yeah.
Check out her music.
So we just shot that music video. And then Carrie Cook is our protagonist in the short film, and we are going to continue to write her.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you'll see what platform that will be on, but we are sticking with that character.
Working on some other things, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there'll also be a lot of writing.
Excellent.
2019.
Well, you know, if you ever need a workshop to go to,
what's that workshop?
That workshop is Rockaway Writers Workshop.
Yes.
We bring writing workshops to everyone for about the same price as a yoga class. The more people who get involved, the more we can keep our tuition down. So
nice.
Hope to see you out by the beach.
That would be great. Yeah. I definitely would like to publish a short story.
Excellent. Well, I can help you write it. I don't know about publishing it.
Right.
I don't know. Hopefully in the future.
And I would say definitely for myself when I think about my own journey a few years ago, like I was thinking about, I definitely went through a place where I was like not feeling seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I realized that the key to feeling seen and heard is to see and hear, you know, is to hear and hear others, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I think that I felt compelled to do the show. To write and to feel part of the community, to allow more voices to be heard and to really connect in these conversations. And I hope that people can check out our archives at truthypowershow.podomatic.com. It's also available on iTunes, and I just got added to Google Play.
Nice.
We're on Google Play as well, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Google Music Play. But Claire, do you have any New Year's upcoming
I want to I'm going to work on continuing to try to be a better teacher. I want to take my work with writing therapy a little further. I'm applying for some grants for that and for the workshop. I'm going to interrupt myself though, because I have something very important to ask. Did you all know that there is a cat film festival? No, for real. And it's not like cat is as much as I mean, YouTube cats. Is one giant cat video. No, but there's like a New York cat film festival, and they're actually like curated films about cats.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
When is this?
I don't know. I people keep sending me so many random like cat links. I kind of lose track. But I was just wondering if you as film connoisseurs knew about them.
Well, I just appreciate people who like
exists.
Cats.
Because
I will say this in the spirit of being authentic, I'm not crazy about dogs. Well, the kind of dogs that I like are the dogs that stay away from me. And I've never been there before. I love that. Yeah. But I really, truly appreciate cats. So thank you for that. And Shannon, too. Shannon
loves
cats.
I'm an outspoken disliker of dogs, and I love cats.
Nice, nice.
So, yeah, I guess
I would love to check like this out, and I'm going to Google this afterwards. So,
yeah, so,
thank
so
you.
I guess a New Year's resolution for me is to try to get involved and informed about the quirkier things going on in the arts in New York, the quirkier community things that reach out to all of those oddballs who want to take their interests to something more.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good.
I like that.
Thank you.
That's a great goal. Yeah.
That's nice.
That's a great goal.
Yeah.
I'll have like 8 more New Year's resolutions tomorrow, so tune in.
Yeah.
It's amazing. This year went by so quickly and
it
feels like, for me at least, it just feels like it was like...
I'm like, are you kidding me? I have the hash marks on my wall. Like, oh my God. Days.
Yeah.
But quickly for you, VJ.
Yes. To me,
beautiful.
Good. So as we start to wind down, I just want to let listeners know that you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, Truth to Power show.
Yes.
Radio Free Brooklyn is a 501c3 nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a free and open platform to our community and promote media literacy, education, and free expression. We rely primarily on donations from listeners like you. So to help support our mission, we invite you to make a one-time donation or monthly pledge at radioforbrooklyn.org/donate. Every cent helps us to continue to stay on air. So please support independent community media by pledging whatever you can afford. All contributions are tax deductible to the full extent of the law. Again, that's radioforbrooklyn.org/donate. We're also going to be doing a after school program for local teens to learn media literacy through media making using a hands-on approach guided by local professionals. If you're interested in participating or donating to this program, please go to radioforbrooklyn.org/afterschool. And once again, remember that all donations are tax deductible. If you're listening on your computer, you can listen on the go. Go to radioforbrooklyn.org/iPhone or /Android, and you can free yourself up with the mobile app. Then finally, speaking of parties and connecting through that, Radio Free Brooklyn is hosting a holiday party on Thursday, December 13th, 7 to 10 p.m. at the Braven Brewing Company in Bushwick. RSVP to radioforbrooklyn.org/holiday2018 to get 2 free beer tickets at the party plus access to the exclusive VIP area. And we'd like to thank Braven Brewing Company for supporting Radio Free Brooklyn this holiday season. Visit the Braven Brewery Bar and Kitchen at Bushwick at 52 Harrison Place or online at bravenbrewing.com.
And also, just I don't know whether this is more of a welcome or a warning. It looks like I'll be flying solo on New Year's Eve at 8 o'clock in the morning. So for all of you who are starting your parties early, why don't you join me at 8 a.m.? I have no idea what the hell I'm going to talk about. So maybe I'll even take some calls. Who knows? But there may
be a
special guest or something like that. So
excellent,
VJ is actually turning over the dials to me.
Yeah, I'll be away
God
that weekend.
Him.
I'm going upstate. So.
Awesome.
It's great. It's great. That'll be great. I hope people will support and tune in at 8 a.m. Every week. And we'll be doing a show on the 24th even. So a live show on the 24th even.
Awesome.
Excellent.
So just the 31st.
I don't know if I'll be here, but I'll call into that.
Yeah, definitely. All right, cool. So any other last thoughts? Any last thoughts before we go to some music? Any other last closing ideas or?
Why don't you guys finish off with pitching your project one more time?
Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm. Great. So first, thank you so much for having us on today. We really appreciate it. And this was a great conversation. I like waking up and thinking about how the world should be.
Before life has a chance to like not
turning into a morning person. I like that.
So finally, we just want everyone to keep an eye out for Bodymore Movie, which will be traveling all over the country and world, hopefully next year. And Bodymore, once more, follows a young woman activist who goes home to Baltimore to protest police violence. But the first night she gets home, she meets up with a childhood friend, and it sets off a series of intimate betrayals that complicates her quest for justice. Now, Bodymore can be, you can follow Bodymore at bodymoremovie.com or on houseofease.com. And you can check us out on Facebook at Bodymore. And you can follow us on our Kickstarter page if you Google Bodymore Movie Kickstarter. It'll be the first thing that pops up.
Thank you.
So I'll be closing out with the Tori Amos song. I've always loved Tori Amos. So mm-hmm. This is
a check for her.
Called a little sneeze. So let's listen to a little bit of that.
Everybody Plays the Fool features a wide variety of music with a different theme each